This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, February 2nd. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. A couple of years ago, Facebook made a big change to its platform. It pivoted away from the newsfeed and instead prioritized groups, basically forums for users to connect around any given topic. But now, the social network is clamping down on groups, after research showed that the feature had become a vector for violent and extremist content. Our Facebook reporter Jeff Horwitz will join me to explain what's going on after these headlines. Google is teaming up with the automaker Ford. Starting in 2023, Ford plans to use Google's Android operating system to power its vehicle display screens, as well as embed its suite of apps, including maps and voice commands. Google will also provide cloud services to help organize production, develop in-car features, and manage data collected from Ford vehicles. Terms of the agreement weren't disclosed, but the partnership makes Ford the latest automaker to tap Silicon Valley amid the accelerating digitization of the car business. Speaking of Google, the company's expected to report its quarterly earnings later today, alongside the tech giants Amazon and Alibaba. We'll be keeping an eye out for more insights about how the company's fared as coronavirus cases ticked up again at the end of 2020. And the battle over in-app tracking continues. As we've talked about on the show before, Apple is set to roll out a new privacy feature in iOS 14. It would give users more control over who has access to their data. With the update, users will have to give apps permission to track them. But survey results indicate that most users would choose not to give apps access to their information. And that's leading some companies that depend on advertising to push back against the update, and vocally. Facebook has been among the loudest voices in this camp. Now, Facebook says it's rolling out its own in-app prompt with more information about how the company uses the data it collects, for instance, to personalize the user's experience. While Apple's prompt will ultimately be the decisive tool for how user behavior is tracked across apps, Facebook says people deserve the extra context. All right, after the break, we'll keep talking about Facebook and why it's planning to overhaul its groups feature. That's next.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
Back in 2019, Facebook redesigned its platform to prioritize its groups feature. They're basically forums for like-minded users. It was part of the company's effort to help users connect with each other and build healthy online communities. But fast forward to now, and Facebook executives are reversing course on groups, amid signs that some of those communities weren't so healthy after all. Here with more on this is our tech reporter, Jeff Horwitz. Hey, Jeff, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to go back to 2019 when Facebook decided to prioritize groups. They went really big on this. I mean, there were ads in the subway here in New York, a commercial during the Super Bowl last year. So why the focus on groups? What was the strategy there?
So I think focusing on online community and fostering online community, that's kind of always been Facebook's MO. And particularly after the 2016 election, I think when there was a recognition about how toxic the newsfeed product could become with fake news, which was coming out from sort of Facebook pages, right? They kind of thought that maybe focusing or refocusing on groups would be a good thing to do. So they'd kind of upped their focus on this over time. So Mark Zuckerberg described groups as kind of the future of the public-facing platform in 2019. He said that Facebook was going to be doing more to make itself a private or quasi-private social network, and that cultivating conversations that were the sort of things people would have in their living rooms or, you know, at their local community center was kind of the idea. And so the company did bet pretty big on this, not only in terms of the marketing, but they also began promoting group content in people's feeds much more. It became a prioritized feature of the platform in everything from the user experience to the algorithms that recommend things.
So Facebook devoted all these resources to groups as the quote unquote healthier alternative to the newsfeed. But as we know, it didn't exactly turn out that way. What happened instead?
So there were some warning signs over time about group behavior not being good. But if you go back even a year ago, we were starting to get into concerns about militias and QAnon groups on the platform. And as kind of 2020 progressed, it became apparent that groups were starting to get out of control. The research that Facebook was doing internally, which we wrote about, found that 70% of the most active groups, civic groups on Facebook, so groups devoted to politics, social issues, things like that, were toxic. They were full of hate speech. They were full of incitements to violence. They were full of harassment. And obviously, this is, you know, a pretty damning statistic. I mean, it's hard to argue that groups was contributing usefully to civic discourse when 70% of the groups were ones that Facebook couldn't, in good conscience, recommend because its own algorithms were flagging them for being problematic.
And I think the question is, why? What is it about Facebook's groups that enable them to become a place where this kind of extremist or harmful content could spread?
So I think a lot of the choices were design choices that Facebook made that, according to the researchers, had kind of allowed things to get really big, really fast with very little oversight. So, for example, groups would be getting recommended before they really even had much of a track record. And so you'd have a thing getting really big before anyone even really knew what it was. There wasn't really much in the way of oversight of the administrators. Some of them were partisan publishers or even foreign entities and were basically just kind of using the groups to circulate low quality news and, you know, really dubious things. Some of them, you know, seemed to be people who were just really interested in getting a rise out of as many people as possible. So it was kind of like it was a gatekeeperless thing. And Facebook was expecting these communities to govern themselves. And I mean, they definitely did not do so in most of the cases, is what it turned out.
And Jeff, what does Facebook say about all this? You know, you mentioned that some of these findings came from internal research. What kinds of steps has the company taken to address the problem?
So historically, Facebook, I think, wasn't that interested in criticism of groups. You know, Mark Zuckerberg told me when they rolled the product out in a more prominent fashion in 2019 that these, you know, sort of safety concerns had been considered. They delayed the product for 6 months while they worked them out, and then it was pretty much done. What we saw internally after that was, you know, there were definitely plenty of concerns raised by folks, but I think there was a sense that Facebook mostly shrugged them off. However, once we get to last year, and particularly the summer and fall, you have the company and Mark Zuckerberg in particular publicly speaking about, I think more so than any other tech CEO, the risk of political violence in the US and clearly being worried. And that was the point, I think, that Facebook became much more open to thinking that it was going to have to do something. And that's when it started rolling out the first of a whole bunch of changes that were at least intended to sort of take the edge off of groups and make it harder for bad ones to grow. And there was also enforcement. They just took a whole bunch of them down.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit more about some of the changes we've seen? And, you know, with this different approach, what happens next for groups?
So Facebook has changed a lot of things. They've changed they've capped the number of people you can invite per day. They have stopped recommending political and health-related groups. They have made some other changes that are intended to sort of slow down groups in their early stages. That said, we don't know how far-reaching these are going to be. When Mark Zuckerberg was talking about some of these changes last week, he suggested that Facebook was looking to find ways to provide more institutional structure to groups. And he suggested that successful groups in his life, you know, look like the ones, say, centered around his synagogue, where there's people who are professional moderators and kind of a shared sense of purpose and a lot of order. And he was looking at ways to potentially introduce more of that into groups. Now, whether the changes are going to be sort of minor stuff to take the edge off or whether we're talking about a wholesale overhaul, I don't know that's clear yet, even to Facebook.
And, you know, at the beginning of this conversation, you mentioned that this shift to groups was a really big change for Facebook. How central is this feature to their business, and what kind of an impact could any big changes have?
So Mr. Zuckerberg said that he was looking to sort of have less politics, not only in groups, but also potentially on Facebook in general. And I think that's an interesting thing for those of us who kind of are accustomed to seeing politics every time we log on to Facebook. That said, you know, I don't know that groups is something that they were kind of slower to monetize for a whole bunch of reasons. So I don't know if there's sort of any immediate financial impact. That said, I mean, this is something that Mark Zuckerberg said was going to be central to his vision of the platform. And in, you know, his conversation or his speech last week, he didn't back off of that. He said that, you know, this was still going to be a big goal. They were just going to do it maybe a little differently.
All right. That's our reporter, Jeff Horwitz. Thanks very much, Jeff.
Thank you.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at GT.com.